He was not all unhappy. His resolve upbore him, and firm faith, and evermore prayer from a living source within the will, and beating up through all the bitter world like fountains of sweet water in the sea, kept him a living soul. "This miller's wife," he said to Miriam, "that you spoke about, has she no fear that her first husband lives?" "Aye, aye, poor soul," said Miriam, "fear enough. If you could tell her you had seen him dead, why, that would be her comfort." And he thought, "After the Lord has called me, she shall know. I wait his time." And Enoch set himself, scorning an alms, to work whereby to live. Almost to all things could he turn his hand. Cooper he was, and carpenter, and wrought to make the boatmen fishing nets, or helped at lading and unlading the tall barks that brought the stinted commerce of those days. Thus earned a scanty living for himself. Yet, since he did but labor for himself, work without hope, there was not life in it whereby the man could live. And as the year rolled itself round again to meet the day when Enoch had returned, a languor came upon him, gentle sickness, gradually weakening the man, till he could do no more. He kept the house, his chair, and last, his bed. And Enoch bore his weakness cheerfully, for sure, no gladlier does the stranded wreck see through the gray skirts of a lifting squall the boat that bears the hope of life approach to save the life despaired of, than he saw death dawning on him, and the close of all. For through that dawning gleamed a kindlier hope on Enoch, thinking, "After I am gone, then may she learn I loved her to the last." He called aloud for Miriam Lane and said, "Woman, I have a secret. Only swear. Before I tell you, swear upon the book not to reveal it till you see me dead." "Dead," clamored the good woman, "hear him talk. I warrant, man, that we shall bring you round. Swear," added Enoch sternly, "on the book." And on the book, half-frightened, Miriam swore. Then Enoch, rolling his gray eyes upon her, "Did you know Enoch Arden of this town?" "Know him," she said, "I knew him far away. I mind him coming down the street, held his head high and cared for no man he." Slowly and sadly, Enoch answered her, "His head is low, and no man cares for him. I think I have not 3 days more to live. I am the man." At which the woman gave a half-incredulous, half-hysterical cry. You are new? Nay, sure he was a foot higher than you be. Enoch said again, my God has bowed me down to what I am. My grief and solitude have broken me. Nevertheless, know you that I am he who married, but that name has twice been changed. I married her who married Philip Ray. Sit. Listen. Then he told her of his voyage, his wreck, his lonely life, his coming back, his gazing in on Annie, his resolve, and how he kept it. As the woman heard, fast flowed the current of her easy tears, while in her heart she yearned incessantly to rush around about all the little haven, proclaiming Enoch Arden and his woes. But awed and promise bounden, she forbore, saying only, see your bairns before you go. Let me fetch him, Arden. And rose, eager to bring them down, for Enoch hung a moment on her words, but then replied, woman, disturb me not now at the last, but let me hold my purpose till I die. Sit down again. Mark me and understand while I have power to speak. I charge you now, when you see her, tell her that I died blessing her, praying for her, loving her. Save for the bar between us, loving her, as when she laid her head beside my own. And tell my daughter Annie, whom I saw so like her mother, that my latest breath was spent in blessing her and praying for her. And tell my son that I died blessing him, and say to Philip that I blessed him too. He never meant anything but good. But if my children care to see me dead, who hardly knew me living, let them come. I am their father. But she must not come, for my dead face would vex her afterlife. And now there is but one of all my blood who will embrace me in the world to be. This hair is his. She cut it off and gave it, and I have borne it with me all these years, and thought to bear it with me to my grave. But now my mind is changed, for I shall see him, my babe, in bliss. Wherefore, when I am gone, take, give her this, for it may comfort her. It will, moreover, be a token to her that I am He. He ceased, and Miriam Lane made such a voluble answer, promising all, that once again he rolled his eyes upon her, repeating all he wished, and once again she promised. Then the third night after this, while Enoch slumbered motionless and pale, and Miriam watched and dozed at intervals, there came so loud a calling of the sea that all the houses in the haven rang. He woke, he rose, he spread his arms abroad, crying with a loud voice, "A sail! A sail! I am saved!" And so fell back and spoke. So passed the strong, heroic soul away. And when they buried him, the little port had seldom seen a costlier funeral.
Wonderful, long-suffering audience.